Join me in the book of Mark as we return now to our study in this area. And we will pick up in chapter 2. If you note in the bulletin, the sermon is entitled Healing the Sick, beginning at verse 1 through verse 17. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up. Take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in the full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I pray the Lord's guidance and wisdom here today. Before we get into our text, I would like to ask you to turn back to Mark chapter 1, verse 14, just to recapture our attention here for just a moment. It's been some weeks since we've been here in Mark. Jesus is now on the scene in his ministry, and the focal point of his ministry is given here in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said. 'The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.'" The major emphasis of Jesus' teaching is that kingdom of God and its effects, its impact, its place in our hearts, in our lives, in his teaching. In chapter 1, following that statement, Jesus showed evidence of his power and authority, if you remember. He called some men to be his disciples. They changed immediately, went with him, followed him. He also drove out demons. As he was reading in the synagogue, one came and he drove the demons out of the man, showing his power over Satan. And then he also healed Simon's mother-in-law. And so she was able to serve him as he dined in her home. So here we see this great evidence of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, but also the impact of the kingdom of God on the people. Now, as we move here in chapter 2, the kingdom of God and its meaning and its teaching is still the emphasis. It's still the point. But here we see an idea being brought into play that is a part of this. It is the idea of repentance. Repentance. Remember Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Repent. Repent. It means to change directions. It means to act differently. It means to do differently than what you are now doing, believing, or saying. Now, this is brought to bear in two stories, very popular stories that we have heard in our younger days in Sunday school. We see them here again. Two stories, the healing of the paralytic and the calling of Levi. Now, please know Levi is also known as Matthew in our Holy Scriptures. Now, we have two stories given here, but I'll direct your attention to the major point. And that is found in verse 17 of this text. It is again, verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus came not for the healthy. Now, please understand what he means by when he uses the word healthy. He means in this phrase, the perceived righteous. Those who see in of themselves through their religious practices, having no need of a Savior, having no need of healing. I'm fine in and of myself. So he identifies those as being healthy. And then he says, I come for those that are not healthy, but I come for the sinners. Now, in the NIV text, they have that word sinners in quotes. I'm not sure how they do that, because in the original Greek language, there is no quotation. And I didn't go to see what the word was. I apologize there. But here, the word sinners in our English language, we would have it in quotes, which means it is not speaking of those who are sinful, that we know all of us are sinful, but it is those who are not a part of the religious machine. Not those who are a part of the traditional religious mechanism, but they are outsiders. Also, you see the word tax collectors used here. And so these are those who know they're not a part of the system. They're the outcasts. They're the unknowns. They're the ones who are sinful. And they know they're not a part of this. Now, let's look at these two stories just briefly. Healing the paralytic. Now, as I say, we hear this story in Sunday school. We see these four gentlemen. They've heard the stories. Jesus is now back in his home, back in an area where he is previously known. And these four gentlemen have now come bringing this paralytic because they've heard of Jesus' healing. They've heard the stories, and so they know this gentleman and his need. And so they try to bring them to him. They can't get in the door, so they dig a hole through the roof. Now, please understand the gravity of this digging a hole through the roof. This wasn't a 2-minute job. This wasn't a 5-minute job. This wasn't unknown to the people in the house. This is if we take a look at history, this is a thatched roof that has something of a mud, brick, mortar substance to it. And it had several layers. There may have been some small limbs and logs embedded in the mortar. This wasn't an easy thing. And Jesus wasn't sitting there going, you know, one second he's not there, and the next second this gentleman's laying on the roof. Jesus probably had to stop doing what he was doing because all of the debris falling in. And then here comes this guy on a mat through the roof. There was great effort shown here on the part of these four gentlemen to get their friend, acquaintance, neighbor, whatever you'd like to call it, into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, a subpart here. This shows the love and care of fellow members in the efforts to get care to someone they love, care about. We are the church, and we do things like that, whether it be through prayer or through physical care. Secondary meaning to the point, or secondary point here. But Jesus looked at these men, and what did he say? Because of your faith, you are healed. Now, please know behind this what faith is the gift of God given so that no one can boast. So it is God who has healed here. The men are simply showing forth the gift of which they received, to have knowledge of the one who can save and heal, and they bring them, this gentleman, to them. But more importantly, he forgave the sin. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Why did he not say there in the beginning, "You are healed, get up and walk"? Because again, remember, that's not Jesus' primary focus. His primary focus is not the outward healing. We know, he knows, there is a day of redemption coming when our bodies will be made new. And we will be healed from all illnesses. That day's coming. But that day in its ultimate healing depends on the inner healing, of which Jesus was more and is more concerned with and about. So here in Jesus' statement, he bypasses the physical and goes straight to the inner source, the inner sore, the inner problem. "Son, your sins are forgiven." But there were distractors. The teachers as they are identified here, the teachers of the law, unknowingly confessed a truth. They said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, that's true. They made a truthful statement. They just simply would not give that credit to Jesus Christ. And so here they made the statement, but Jesus knew of their thoughts. This shows his divinity. He knew of their thoughts, and so he went further. And he asked them this. Jesus, in verse 8, pick up with me. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." Again, which is easier? I can profess to you that Jesus forgives sins, and through your faith you believe me, which is what we are called to do. But do you know, truly know, in your heart have evidence of the forgiveness of someone else's sins? We believe the Scriptures, but we believe through faith. And at this point in time in our lives, that's what we must do. But if I push the question, do you have evidence? And if we did have that factual evidence, then we would not need faith. And ours is a religion of faith. But Jesus pushed the point here. And he said, "Which is easier, for me to say your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk?" Jesus showed forth his divinity. He showed forth his godliness. He showed forth his power and authority as the Son of Man and gave us that evidence, if you will, that said, "Son, get up and walk. Take your mat and go home." And the people were astonished. Would you not be astonished? Yes, we would. Jesus showed in his power, he showed his authority. He healed the man's outward illness, but he did it so that the people would see that he has the power to heal his inward illness. We believe that. The next story is the calling of Levi. Again, this is Matthew. Now, Levi is not the first person we would expect to be called as a disciple of Jesus Christ. In anything, he wouldn't be the last person we'd think would be called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This was a hated man. He was a tax collector. We don't like tax collectors today. But these tax collectors of this day were given privilege, given rank, given ability, if you will, not only to collect tax on behalf of the Roman government, but they could take an extra quantity, which was their income. And so the Jewish people saw this man as a thief, not only for the taxation, but for the abuse of taking their land, taking their money, taking the very last thing. So many times in the text, you know, you see the idea of sinner associated with the idea of tax collector. And here Jesus is associating with this man. Not only associating with him, calling him to be a disciple. Not only calling him, being associated with him, but he went home and had dinner with him. Now, please know, in this culture, when you go and eat dinner with someone, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That is showing that you are associating with them and you are in relationship with them. The teachers protested. Not only were they just thinking this time they went to the disciples and said, "Why does he eat with these sinners?" Remember, these were unclean people in the Old Testament ways. Why? Why is Jesus eating with these people? Well, I'll tell you why. Look at verse 17 again. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Folks, this is why Jesus came. Not for the healthy. Not for those who think themselves to be righteous. Not for those who see themselves perfected in their religious practices. But for those who suffer from the disease of sin. Those who suffer because of sin. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3 give us this. The psalmist is saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Please know the crux of the matter here. That we can get medications, we can get things that will address the symptoms, but it is Jesus Christ who goes to the crux of the disease. And that disease is sin. "I came," he says, "to call not the righteous, but the sinners." And folks, just like the paralytic, just like the tax collector, just like those that were identified here as sinners, we are sick. And we suffer greatly from this disease. Sin is an ominous thing. It affects us in so many ways. Sin overly influences our lives, and we live out of that influence every day. Sometimes in very noticeable ways, and sometimes it may be very subtle, yet accepted way. The disease of sin confines us, constrains us, and it reveals its tentacles of bondage in so many ways. Adultery, divorce, murder, pride, envy, lust, jealousy. These are the more heinous sins that get a lot of attention. Sin, however, invades and pervades every portion of our everyday lives. This disease of sin causes other actions as well. The desire to be overly controlling and dominating. Verbal abuse, whether it be parent to child or spouse to spouse. The abuse of prescription drugs, illegal drugs, overindulgence, be it food, be it alcohol, be it, we have so many things at our table. The lack of respect for self, which leads to an obsessive desire to be good enough so that we might be accepted by others. Materialism. The inner drive to have bigger, to have more, to have better. Vanity. Vanity. Traditionalism. Placing traditions and its institutions above truth of the gospel. Subjectivity. When it comes to our families, placing family above truth and discipline. Speaking of discipline, the lack of discipline, the lack of proper discipline shown to our children. A loose tongue, saying too much, typically in disgust or in all-out anger. Backbiting, gossip. Not being true to our marital vows. Enjoying the company of other women just a little too much. The lack of true submission to your spouse. Finding security in our bank accounts rather than through faith trusting in Jesus Christ. These are just a few. But I mention these in this way in hopes that we would see that the disease of sin goes past the big names of adultery and murder and lust, but it reaches down in so many ways. We are in bondage. We are in bondage to these influences. And many times they're accepted. Many times we think some of these actions are so innocent. But when we see them, they are indeed effects of the disease of sin. We are a sick people. Suffering from the disease of sin. But Jesus' words are so clear. He said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. We need to repent. We need to repent. And that's what I'd like to do here this morning. I would like for us to go into a season of prayer. I don't want to embarrass anyone. I don't want to say, okay, that sin belongs to you. No, I'm not into that. Just like me, knowing my sin, you know yours. And you know the place where sin has you in bondage. And it has been there maybe so long that you've accepted it and you just simply say, that's the way I am. Or that's the way I was raised. Or that's just the way things are. No, that's not true. Jesus spoke these words to us, the church. Repent and believe. Believe that you can be freed from the shackles of sin that might be holding you. I'm going to go right here and pray. If you would like to join me here, please come. Sometimes it takes that professional, that outward movement. Or you can pray right where you are. But these words are very clear. Jesus said, repent. But he also said, I have come for the sick. So let's pray together.